Now, one of the things that I do want to mention just before we move to the next step in this rest-organization process is when it comes to the weekly and we're talking about Sabbath and you're thinking, man, I don't know about this. And part of the issue is you're just kind of having a difficult time wrapping your mind around the idea of saying, oh, wait a minute, hold up now. One of the most significant ministry days of the week is the very day that I'm saying is not a day of rest. I mean, I do realize I'm doing a lot of praying and I'm having to intervene here and intervene there and I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm, yeah, I guess I am working. Just because it's something that you enjoy, that doesn't mean you're not putting forth effort in order to do it. You are putting forth effort. It is your vocation or one of your vocations. It's still work. Just because a person enjoys what they're doing, that doesn't mean no effort is involved. It's still work. And so don't feel like God will be upset with you if you say, you know what? I really don't consider Sunday to be a day of rest. It is what it is, and it is not what it is not. And if you are working most of the day on Sunday, you are not resting on Sunday. It is either a work day or a rest day. And if you are working much of that day or most of that day, it's not a day of rest for you. So look at the other 6 days of the week and try to determine which of those days could possibly fit in as a day of rest for you. How about monthly reminders? Leadership research says that leaders really should reinforce vision every 28 days or so. That need, which is built into our hearts, may be why God told the people to make a sacrifice every new moon. We need to have some time to stop and recalibrate our hearts. Recalibrate our hearts. Monthly reminders of who God is. And remember, it's so important that we do remember who he is, believe who he is, appreciate who he is, and celebrate who he is. Now, just as a couple of examples, he is our Redeemer King. Yep, he is our Redeemer King. And in that role, part of what he does is provides for us. Part of what he does is he rescues us from adversity, you name it. Part of what he does as our Redeemer King is he fights our enemies. Yes. And so that Redeemer King title is part of what comes up under Savior. That is part of what salvation is about. He is our Lord. He calls the shots in our lives. He should. How many of you have noticed now that the more you allow God to be in charge, the better life goes for you? That doesn't mean you don't have any problems. That doesn't mean you don't have any adversity. No, it just means that you've noticed that life works out better when you say, God, you're in charge. I'm submitting to you. I'm yielding to you. As opposed to, God, you're in charge, but I'm calling the shots. In other words, you're on the throne, but I'm the power behind the throne. How many of you have taken that position in the past and noticed that it basically just caused a mess? You made a mess that you made, not God. He let you go ahead and take charge. He let you take the reins. Wow, how did things work out? I know it sure is better for me. And I mean, sometimes even when it comes to the smallest things, you know, so often, you know, we've been getting to the point where as children of God, we've begun to recognize that God is interested in some of the most minute details of our lives. Not that he's being a busybody, not that he's being nosy. He just cares about us so much that he manages on the macro level and on the micro level. And how many of us have realized that, wow, since God is willing to manage on the micro level, I need to yield even on the micro level? Yeah, because we're talking about a road, a course, a pathway that has the two of us walking together. And I know there's been sometimes, too many times, when just because I consider something to be micro, I figured, you know, hey, I got this. And so many times, even on the micro level, life would have gone better had I remained yielded. But too often, I want to go ahead and handle this part. I got this. I got this. Only to find out I didn't have it. Yes, indeed. It really is good to let the master be in control 24/7 on every detail, no matter how big, no matter how small, or where it is in between. Monthly reminders helping us recalibrate our hearts, remembering. How about annual routines? For the people of God, particularly during the Old Testament days, you had Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, all annual celebrations in the life of Israel. God didn't intend for those to be legalistic restrictions. He meant those to be times when the people would tell the stories of God's work to their children. And there were certain activities that they were to participate in that would help lock the experience into the minds and hopefully the hearts of the people. That's part of the reason that they were to build those temporary booths and live in those booths for a short period of time at the end of each year, you know, at a designated time each year. There were times for eating together and for sharing food with those who were lacking. Annual events that really were about increasing the harmony between each individual and their God, between each individual and the other Israelites, between the whole group and God. Annual events. Now, routines. How many of you like the idea of also, with the annual routines, having at least 1 week out of the year where you get away from everything? You put down your schoolwork, you put down your work, you put down your ministry work, you just relax, just rest. You're still spending time in prayer, you're still spending time in study of the word, you're still spending time meditating, but as far as five lists of things to do each week, six lists of things to do each week, and you're trying to get all of this done by such time, all of that goes away. It's just about spending time with God and being refreshed. Be right back.